I know people at home are fed up with politics. I hear you, and I want to be honest with you. We have not been good enough, and we need to be better. We will be. We will make this moment a circuit breaker for Britain, bringing forward the biggest changes in the last 40 years. A new political model and a new economic model.
This is my video update on this Monday afternoon, July the 20th, coming to you from Athens, Greece. Let's climb some stairs and let's start things off with some breaking news. Andy Burnham is now living and working at 10 Downing Street. I guess it's official. Andy Burnham is now the Prime Minister of the UK. He will be hanging out at 10 Downing Street, governing all the Britons from that residence, along with Larry the Cat. Prime ministers change in the UK every couple of months. They come and go from 10 Downing Street, but Larry the Cat, he's always there. He's permanent. Thank God. We need Larry the Cat now more than ever. So Andy Burnham now takes over for Keir Starmer. And Andy Burnham said before he entered 10 Downing Street that we can do better. The Labour Party, the British establishment, British government, can do better, according to Andy. Andy, did you hear about this one? If you believe, they put a man on the moon. Yeah. All right, so that's some breaking news. And we can now talk about the World Cup. Why not? Congratulations to Spain. A well-deserved victory, I must say. Congratulations to Argentina as well. They had a great tournament, as did England and France. And the teleférique all the way up. Let's walk this way. Spain takes home the World Cup. I believe it's 16 years since they last won it. When did they last win it? In 2010, I want to say. But the Spanish team, they hoisted up high the World Cup, along with U.S. President Donald J. Trump. Yeah, Trump was there. My prayers were answered. I said, please, God, Spain, so we could see Trump with the Spanish team hoisting the World Cup. And sure enough, that is what we got. Yeah, we got U.S. President Trump, along with the Spanish footballers, celebrating the World Cup victory on stage in front of the world. Gianni Infantino, he tried to get Trump off of the platform. They went together to present the World Cup, to give the medals. Carney was there, Sheinbaum, Claudio, she was there as well. But Trump decided to stay. He decided to stay on stage, photobomb the victory of Spain. Rodri, he was very polite, but he was telling Trump, you know, come on, man. He has like the trophy in his hand. He's telling Trump, come on, bro. You got to move on. Look, we all got to be fair, objective, and honest. If it was not for Trump's extra time goal, Spain would have never won. So Trump deserved to be on that stage just as much as anybody else. It was the greatest goal in all of history. No one's seen anything like it. Oh, man. It was funny. It was funny seeing Trump on there, I have to admit. It was kind of funny. Look, this is your once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, right? You're presenting the trophy, and you got to be saying to yourself, when am I ever going to have this opportunity ever in my life to be at the platform, on the platform, celebrating a World Cup victory with Spain? So I might as well just stick around. That was great. Anyway, okay, that was the big news from yesterday, the Spanish victory. And right after the match, the U.S. military, they decided to launch their 9th airstrike into Iran. And when I mean after the match, I mean they waited until after the match, for real. They waited for the match to play out. They waited for the awards ceremony. And up or down? Down is, man, down is easy. Up is hard. Up is really hard. So we're going to go up. We are going to go up. Yeah, they waited till everything was done. And then they launched their airstrikes into Iran. My understanding of the airstrikes was that it lasted around 3 hours, which makes it some of the one of the shortest airstrikes, the duration that we've seen from the United States in the past couple of weeks. But they waited until after the World Cup ceremony. The Washington Post is reporting that, according to their sources inside the Trump administration, the United States military is preparing for a big war. Now, of course, the military should be and has to be preparing for a big war. That's what a military at war, I imagine, is expected to do. But the Washington Post, in their reporting, they make it out as if it's a certainty we are heading towards a very big war between the United States and Iran. U.S. teeters on return to all-out war with Iran after more troops killed. The military announced Sunday that a service member was killed in action in Iraq, and another set of unidentified remains was found at the site of an Iranian missile attack in Jordan, U.S. Central Command said. Yeah, two more U.S. Military personnel were confirmed killed yesterday. So the more casualties, the harder it gets for the U.S. to exit, for the Trump administration to exit. If they exit this conflict, they will exit as the losers. They will look weak. Trump does not want to look weak. The United States does not want to look weak. And the neocons and the warmongers, they're going to go on to the Sunday talk shows in the United States, and they're going to make the case to the American people that because of the casualties and Iran attacking the United States, the U.S. military needs to escalate. That's the argument that they're going to make. The soldiers, I believe Trump has already said this, the soldiers died in order to prevent Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. Someone in the Trump White House, if not Trump himself, has already said this on Fox News, I believe. And they're going to say that, that the soldiers died protecting the United States and stuff like that. So it's going to be impossible for the United States to get out of this this conflict. Can we call it a quagmire? Can we call it a developing long war? Because that is exactly where we are heading. And right now it is all about controlling the Strait of Hormuz. He who controls the Strait of Hormuz controls the world. He who controls the spice. It's all about controlling the spice. Now, the United States, their game plan is to get control of the Strait of Hormuz, to open it up, to gain control of it. And that way you take away Iran's leverage. And then over time, you can defeat the Iranian government, get your regime change, whatever. But you have to take away Hormuz. That's the way they're looking at it. We have reports which claim that instead of the United States getting closer to capturing Hormuz, they're actually moving their military assets further away from Hormuz. There are credible reports which claim that after the multiple strikes in Jordan, which did do a lot of damage to U.S. military operations, the U.S. is now moving assets. There's the Acropolis. Yeah. And Acropolis is there. And the stadium is back there. There you go. And all the way in the distance, you could see the sea. You can see the sea. And we push onwards. So they're moving things to Israel now. Jordan has proven to not be a safe staging grounds for operations against Iran. So now they're taking their military and they're moving it to Israel. So there are rumors, unconfirmed, that Qatar has proposed a 10-day truce. A 10-day truce. In order to open up Hormuz, get some of the spice flowing. And these are just rumors, unconfirmed reports. But I doubt that either side would agree to this. Maybe the U.S. might agree to this, but I doubt that Iran would agree to any such terms. I believe at this moment in time, the hardliners in Iran, they are in charge. They gave diplomacy a chance. Pezeshkian, Arachi, Ghalibaf, they said, okay, we'll give the MOU a shot. And it did not work out, so we are now with the hardliners and the IRGC. And they're not going to agree to any kind of pause. 10 days, 10 hours, not going to happen. Here's an interesting post on X. Percentage of drinking water from desalination. Bahrain, 100%. Qatar, 99%. Kuwait, 90%. Saudi Arabia 70, UAE 42, Iran 3%. If the United States goes after desalination plants in Iran, we could be looking at a major humanitarian catastrophe in the Gulf. And then we have the interesting story from CNN, which claims that the Trump administration is working out a nuclear deal with Saudi Arabia. The U.S. is going to give permission for Saudi Arabia to enrich uranium. Right now, it's waiting for Trump's signature. So the deal that has been worked out between the U.S. and Saudi Arabia is in a kind of limbo, waiting for Trump to sign off. But it looks like it's going to happen. And the interesting part about this deal is that my understanding of it, the IAEA is not going to be doing any monitoring. So basically, it's up to the United States as to how far Saudi Arabia enriches. if Saudi Arabia decides to go underground and build a bomb, there's no one really to monitor all of that. Not that the IAEA is a trusted institution, but that was its purpose. And look, it did monitor the JCPOA, and the JCPOA did conclude that Iran was complying with the terms of the JCPOA. That's my understanding of the JCPOA until Trump walked away from it. It was keeping Iran, for the most part, in check with regards to uranium enrichment. But this Saudi deal cuts out the institutions, and it's all about the U.S. and Saudi Arabia. And who knows? Saudi Arabia could be getting nuclear weapons. It's a possibility. The way I read this article from CNN, it does sound like Saudi Arabia has gotten the permission from some forces in the United States to just press forward and get nukes. Maybe they see this as a way to act as a deterrent to Iran. That could be what's at play here. Iran is moving towards a nuke. We have problems in this war. Things are not going well. So let's fall back onto plan C or plan D, which is to just nuke up the region. That's pretty scary, if that is what's going on. But anyway, it was quite a shocking article from CNN. Not sure it's getting the attention it deserves. Let's press on, and we're gonna make it to the top, everybody. Are you gonna stick with me? Are you gonna stick with me until we make it to the top? Ovli kavitos. Let's talk about Project Ukraine, the conflict in Ukraine. Yesterday, the Ukraine military, and I'm doing this probably on the hottest day of the year. Right now in Athens, it is scorching hot. I am loco, loco en la cabeza. Anyway, all right. 400 plus drones launched into Moscow yesterday. And the Ministry of Defense, they said that they knocked down most of the drones. Maybe some debris fell on various residential apartments, buildings. But it was a huge attack into Moscow, into the Moscow region. One of the largest attacks from the collective West into Moscow. But the Russian air defense was very much on top of it. At least those are the latest reports that I've seen. Maybe we will get some images, some reports of damage to structures in the Moscow region. But that's the update there. And from the Russian military, the blockade continues. The Odessa blockade, not only does it continue, but it is getting a lot stricter, a lot harder. The blockade on the port of Odessa. For the past couple of weeks, Russia's been launching drones towards ships that have been trying to enter the port or leave the port. Yesterday, we got a missile. Yeah, a freaking missile hit a grain ship, I believe. And according to Ukraine sources, there were casualties on board this ship, but I think it was trying to enter the port of Odessa, and or maybe it was trying to exit, not quite sure, but the Russian missile completely demolished this ship. There's not going to be one insurer, there's not going to be one shipper that is going to send their ships into Odessa after the images that I saw. No way. This is a This is a serious blockade that is being put on Ukraine. Did you guys see images of the logistics complex, the, what's it called, the Amtel? So Ukraine hit the Wildberries e-commerce warehouse, resulted in 8 civilian deaths. The Russian military, they demolished the logistics complex known as Amtel, an area of over 100,000 square meters. This is a huge facility, huge warehouse. You look at the images, the whole thing demolished. Yeah, I think this is the entrance. We did it. We did it, guys. Oh, thank God. So yeah, that was those were some shocking images. What missile was used to hit this complex? Does anyone know in the comments down below? Because whatever was used did a tremendous amount of damage. It's what Putin said. You know, Putin said a couple of weeks ago, Ukraine will hit us, we'll hit them right back, and when we hit them back, it's going to be 100 times harder. And that is exactly what is playing out. So let's discuss the sanctions situation. Let's discuss sanctions. Usually up here it's packed, but given the heat, I don't see anyone coming up here, or very few people coming up here. You know the teleférique that I showed you down below as we started this ascent? That actually takes you up here. But like a fool, I decided to walk. But we did it. This is Athens. So we have the Financial Times coming out with an article where they are sounding the alarms. Red alert from the sanction-loving, greed-goblin-friendly Financial Times. They are very worried because according to their sources, the EU member states are not so hot on the 21st sanctions package. Did I not say in a video 2 days ago that the Financial Times is just copying us? Right? We've been saying this for the past 2-3 days. I actually talked about this 2 days ago in detail with regards to Greece and the Greek shipping and the resistance that they're putting to the 21st sanctions package, where the Financial Times is reporting that it's not only Greece because of the shipping issue that is putting up resistance. They are saying Portugal is putting up resistance. I actually talked about this as well in a video because of the sanction on fish. Kaya Kallas telling the media, I never knew that fish could be so geopolitical. Stunning and brave. Blocked by fish. Those fish. Yeah, Portugal's like, look, we're not going to place sanctions on Russian fish. It's going to drive up the prices of our food products, and our businesses are going to go bust. Germany's the same. They don't want any sanctions on Russian food and Russian fisheries and stuff like that. And Austria is putting up a ton of resistance because of Raiffeisen. Raiffeisen Bank, which is very big in Russia. I don't believe it's owned by Austria anymore, or it's part of the same group of Raiffeisen in Austria, but they had to lose a lot of money because of the sanctions, because of the banking sanctions and Raiffeisen. And so Austria is basically telling the EU, you know what, we need to get some money, or else our banking sector is gonna have problems, and we need to be reimbursed for all the money lost in supporting Le Gobelin Vert. The Zelensky curse is very, very real, and it's very punishing. So Greece, Portugal, Germany, Austria, EU faces crumbling support for new Russia sanctions. National capitals refuse to support measures that could hurt big companies. Yeah, the EU member states don't care about the people. If the sanctions just hurt the citizens, Greece, Portugal, Austria, Germany, definitely Greece, Portugal, and Germany. Austria, I don't know. But those three countries definitely do not care about the people, everyday people being hurt, inflation, rising prices, energy shortages. They don't give an F, right? Excuse my language. I'm in front of a church. I'm not going to curse. But in a beautiful church it is. But look, when it comes to big business, when it comes to powerful business groups and business lobbies, for example, like Greece and the shippers, it could cost New Democracy and Mitsotakis control of the government. So that's why they are putting a block to the 21st sanctions package. And the Financial Times is basically saying that they'll pass the 21st sanctions package, but it will be very much watered down and will have a minimum effect on Russia. Now, what's going on with the U.S. Bone-crushing sanctions against Russia? The sanctions that are in honor of Lindsey Graham. We got to honor Lindsey Graham, say the Republicans, with sanctions. And Trump, he actually posted on Truth Social that Republicans should add Iran to the Russian sanctions bill. That's what Lindsey wanted to do, and it was going to happen. Important President DJT. So now Trump is playing around with this sanctions bill. Now he's saying, let's add Iran. Next week he'll say, let's put Hezbollah in there as well. You know what? Maybe we should add China to this sanctions package. My shirt is just all sweat. It's disgusting. Anyway, look at the olives. Are those olives? Yeah. Or are those olives? I don't know. No, maybe not. Those are not olives. They look like olives. Someone in the comments will let me know what those are. I'm terrible at that stuff. I love it. I love to film it. I love to record it. I love beauty, but I'm not good at naming the beautiful things. I know it when I see it. I just don't know its name. So anyway, then we'll put China, then we'll put North Korea. How about Spain? I want to embargo Spain as well. Remember when Trump was saying we should embargo Spain? He's going to tell Congress, look, in honor of Lindsey Graham, let's also put Spain in that sanctions bill. Lindsey would have wanted it that way. Got to embargo Spain, especially now that they won the World Cup. Infantino's going to be upset. He was pulling for Argentina. Anyway, that is an update there. Trump is trying to duck and weave and try to get around this promise that he made to Lindsey Graham to pass the Russian sanctions. But he would have to be absolutely crazy to actually sign off on this. But who knows? He just might. He just might sign off on this. The situation in Ukraine is getting very bad on the front line. Russia continues to advance. They've got Konstantinovka. They've got Liman. They're pushing across the entire front line. Ukraine is without patriots. Kiev can be hit at any time. Russia can hit Ukraine anywhere, anytime, any place. You got a blockade on Odessa. What happens when the Russian military decides to blockade the border? What if they decide to not only put a blockade on Odessa, what if they decide to put a blockade on railway links, on bridges, on military assets that are pouring through the border via Poland? What if Russia decides to do something there? It's a terrible situation for Ukraine. It's a losing situation for Ukraine. And who knows, maybe in desperation, Trump might sign this Lindsey Graham catastrophe, which will end up hurting the United States more than it hurts Russia. And that is a good segue to our clown world. Let's go check out the church first. And since we're here, let's walk inside. And then we'll do our clown world. 1834, St. George, Lycaventus. Okay, let's do a clown world and we can wrap up today's video. And we stick with the front lines in the conflict in Ukraine. And we go to what may be one of the most bizarre, craziest, but perfectly in line PR stunts, clown worlds from Le Gobelin Vert. Do you guys see the butterfly? It's probably making people dizzy. So here's what happened, just so we understand how Zelensky and the collective West is absolutely obsessed with the information PR war. Absolutely obsessed with it. And it's the PR information war that for them gives them more money and gives them more weapons, though now they don't have any weapons really to get from the collective West. But they place a whole lot of importance on the PR campaigns. And a lot of the collective West leaders, they actually believe this stuff. They actually believe all the PR media productions that Zelensky, who is an actor, and his entire administration, for the most part, is a production team. Most of his administration, these people are producers, scriptwriters, directors. Like, that's what they did for a living. So this is their wheelhouse. And what they did is, and the military went along with it, so shame on the military, but as I said in my video yesterday, Sirski, who is probably on his way out, he would do anything that Zelensky would tell him to do. That's why Zelensky liked Sirski so much, because Sirski did everything that Le Gobelin Vert would tell him to do. And so they came up with a plan to send, I've read reports of around 30, I can't confirm that, but 30 Ukrainian soldiers in an operation to make their way into Konstantinovka, to secretly slide their way into Konstantinovka and to raise a flag, a Ukraine flag, and to put out a video and to say that Konstantinovka has not been captured by Russia. Putin is lying. You see, here we are in the center of Konstantinovka, and here we are with the Ukraine flag. The problem is that the Russian military has such a tight grip on Konstantinovka, and they have such control of Konstantinovka that they eliminated many of the soldiers. So many of these soldiers, they died in Zelensky's stupid, ridiculous PR trick. And a couple of soldiers were captured, and they released a video. They said their names, they said who they were, they described their operation, and they were holding the Ukraine flag. And then they and the Ukraine flag and a picture of, I believe, Zelensky and Sirski, I believe, were the photos that they were holding up. I don't have the video in front of me, but then they put down the Ukraine flag and picked up the Russian flag, and they came out with a statement saying that we were busted. This operation failed. Russia captured us, and they did not eliminate us, and we thank them for that. So they actually said that as well. Let me find a quote if I have it bookmarked. Yeah, they said, we were sent to Konstantinovka with full knowledge that it is under the command of Russian soldiers. Our brothers died, but we were left alive. They treated us with respect. That's why when I say in a video that there are rumors, and I said this yesterday, there are rumors, not confirmed, that some of the drones are filled with kerosene so that when they hit the refineries, you get a huge explosion. When you're dealing with Zelensky and his production team, never discount stuff like this, because they're looking at ways to win in the information space and to create big explosions and to send forces into captured cities in order to raise a flag, so then they can use the media, which is completely on their side, the collective West media. They'll believe anything, the collective West media, from Zelensky. They'll believe anything. The Financial Times, BBC, if there was a video of soldiers putting a flag in Konstantinovka, the BBC will believe it, right? And they use that to their advantage. Everyone's playing along, and then you get the promises of more money, and they get more money, and the promises of more weapons, and the West, and the leaders, who also buy into all of this PR stuff, they continue the conflict.
And they fool a lot of people in the West. A lot of people in the West see these images on X and they say, well, you know, they're raising a flag in Konstantinovka. Russia says they captured it. But here's a video of Ukrainian soldiers raising a flag. So Putin is lying. So those are the narratives that they want to put out there. Or look at all the smoke rising from the refinery, because possibly the drone was filled with kerosene. I'm not saying it was, but, you know, don't doubt that Ukraine would have come up with those kinds of tricks. And there you go. We're winning the conflict. The tide is turning. Let's keep the war going. Anyway, that's my point in all of this. That's the clown world. That's the video, theduran.locals.com. We are on X. We are on Rumble and Telegram. We have a sale, 26% off in the Duran shop on all merchandise, a summer sale. And please, please hit that like. Smash that like. Obliterate that hype. To all of those that are subscribed to this channel, thank you for subscribing. Very much appreciated. Please check your subscription to make sure you are still subscribed. And I will see everybody tomorrow. Take care.